yo, the flyest motherfucker in the room. Yeah, you know it's me. Bitches hating on him cause he started out here locally. Hopefully, I'll be at the top soon. But now I'm at my house, on the couch, watching cartoons. You know how much you love it when you get it in abundance. Give a fuck about it.
Hey gang, we are back. We are the Podcast of Honor crew. And we will fight for our right to, I don't know, exist. So, we're back. There's no real things to talk about of massive importance, so we're just going to freestyle it a bit. There were some TV tapings, there's some rumors, there's some ongoing stuff. And most importantly, there's Matt, Chris, and Ari. I am the Matt in that scenario. My name is Matt Waters. I'm all English and stuff. And I could be unemployed soon, but silver linings and stuff. I'm getting to podcast with my bros. Bro number one, that's not ranking you. You're just the first one, I'm saying. And for political reasons, we're going to go alphabetically with Ari Bernstein. How you doing in New York, sir?
You know what pisses me off?
I don't know, Charlie. What pisses you off?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I'm in a great mood. So
yeah, well, there you go. Free headphones will do.
That's right. $280 for free. For nothing. That makes my day.
I got a free iPad from my work a while ago. So
did you click you clicked on one of those links, didn't you?
Nope.
Oh.
I accidentally acquired it.
You guys wanna know what I got for free? Which was awesome.
Interrupting me and talking before you're introduced, is that what you got for free?
No, I got 6 shots. That's what I got for free.
In the mouth.
Oh, hey now.
Yeah, it's going to be a drop somewhere. But if I sound funny, that's because I'm numb.
Okay. Well, you're Chris Gs, too.
Yes, I am.
You sound funny because you are funny.
There you go. So Chris is here. Harris here. I'm here. Chris doesn't get to say how he's feeling. He summed it up by saying he got 6 shots in the mouth. Make your own joke. So, yeah, we're back. And
this is the quality programming we provide.
That's what you come with. And given how this job situation works out with me, you could be hearing a lot more from me again. Remember last year when I was all over the place? Oh, I suppose 2 years ago now. Well, I was all over this site, and now it's like I barely even... I'm associated with you guys, but either way, I am promising to be more involved, and let's get real involved right now in some rumors, or really not rumors anymore, because it's kind of basically been confirmed, but El Generico, your favorite generic luchador and mine, has rumored to have been signed by the World Wrestling Entertainment Corporation Company Federation, WWE, as you may know them. This isn't new news. It was reported like a week ago, I think, at this point, and we have actually covered it on
by
this
one.
By Pro Wrestling Ponderings.
Oh,
right?
That's right.
Did we do that? Was that us?
Yeah.
I think we are. Chris, you've talked about it on a podcast already. So you can just recycle your own opinions if you want. But, you know, this is the Podcast of Honor. El Generico, while he is not a frequent co-star of the Ring of Honor show anymore, he has been instrumental to Ring of Honor's history. So I feel it's only appropriate we talk about this. What else are we going to talk about? Chris, I guess you can go first, as you probably don't have as much to say because you've already said your piece, and then we can... for the Ari Bernstein monologue that comes from... So, Chris...
Is that a bad thing that I can speak on this? Booyah, booyah.
It's not bad, but yeah, you're correct, Matt. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm happy for him. I've talked about this twice on the weekly newscast and on the breaking news podcast that we did here on PWP, and, you know, good for him. You know, we're all happy. Of course, there's all tons of speculation about him and the gimmicks and the whatever... but overall, I think everyone should just be happy for him.
Yeah, and he is a goddamn incredible wrestler. So regardless of what they hand him, what name he picks, whether he works under a mask or not, it's difficult to imagine him not being able to make something. I mean, he can work with anyone. Surely this will transfer over to the WWE, and he will find some measure of success. And while I wish him luck, he better not cancel on his Dragon Gate UK appearances, as I was going to be seeing him live for the first time next month. He's cancelled.
Last I heard, that was still on, so you might be in luck.
Most of his appearances, and nothing has yet been cancelled. If anything, a new match has been announced: Generico versus BB Hulk. I will be potentially seeing Generico versus Ricochet, which has happened before, but hey, I'll take it live. So that has not yet been cancelled, so I'm assuming that means it's still on. Hopefully. Anyway, I'm excited to see what happens with Generico and the WWE. Though he could become some kind of, I don't know, martyr for this whole vanilla midget argument, because so many people are convinced he's, I don't know, he draws such mixed opinions from he's a very easy target for what mainstream fans think indie wrestlers are, and if he fails, it's just going to be fuel on that fire all over again. But positive thoughts, I think Generico is going to make something for himself. And if not, we get El Generico back wrestling, you know, brand new generation of indie wrestlers probably, you know, 6 months from now. Johnny Gargano, who? I mean, I don't know. Disjointed thoughts from Matt Waters, as always. But Ari, you are a man who manages to organize your thoughts into paragraphs. So, have at it. What do you think about Generico signing with the WWE, potentially?
Yeah, this is, you know, sort of the shock of shocks of the year so far. It's been a short year, but, you know, just a year is still young. But to hear about this is very surprising. And, you know, as a fan, bittersweet.
No?
Matt, no, I missed what you said, buddy.
So do you think it'll win a slammy for Oh My God moment of the year?
Probably not.
Okay. Sorry.
You know, maybe if Hornswoggle walks into a wall again or something, that might top it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, the events of Final Battle 2012, everything kind of now makes a lot more sense with Generico really putting over Kevin Steen very strongly. You know, just aside from the fact that, you know, he had not really been in Ring of Honor all that much this year or in 2012, I should say. And the fact that he put over Steen so strongly, you know, it all kind of ties together. And although, you know, again, just one more twist on the whole, all the stories or the rumors that you read. I mean, you know, it's been reported so often that there has to be at least some smoke to the fire about Jim Cornette and other people, you know, or, you know, not really liking Generico, seeing in Generico what he was capable of. And so, you know, for him to spend an entire year plus almost on ice, only made rare occasions for Ring of Honor, because he might not be like someone who looks like someone who could be on TV, only for him to sign with the top, you know, wrestling company of, you know, that does TV up to, you know, up to 10 hours of it. It should really just... Doesn't that kind of say it all about, you know, the misuse of Generico this past year in Ring of Honor? Generico has been so awesome elsewhere. Everyone, I mean, anyone who has seen him knows it. And, you know, he started as a comedy act in many promotions. But along the way, he starts to win over and won over many people. And he became sort of this ultimate representative of a beloved, sympathetic underdog act. And, you know, I think he'll carry that into WWE. I think he'll be most effective if he stays as the El Generico character or a version of it. But whether he is, I mean, he's very versatile. And I think like any actor, you know, can diversify and sort of get out from a different character, from a character that's been long established and create something different. I think if anyone has the ability to do that and the chops to do that, it's going to be El Generico. He certainly has, you know, the ability to get people to care about him. So whether it's a variation of the Jericho character or something else, I think, you know, I really, you know, I can understand what Matt was saying before about people like sort of naysaying it. But after, you know, so many times you've got all these guys from the independent scene coming into WWE, and, you know, it's sort of like now a generational thing where like so many of the guys in the last 10 years have either been in WWE or TNA. To me, it doesn't matter at this point. I think the stereotypes on that have finally been broken through. But if they haven't, I mean, it's just one more thing for him to hold a kick in the face and, you know, prove everyone wrong. So I do wish him the best of luck. I've taken to calling myself El Generico of late on Twitter. I say that very tongue in cheek, but it's a nice shout out to the man because I really do have come to appreciate what he's meant, and I think he is sort of like at this point now the ultimate success story of the independents, a guy who is sort of the complete antithesis of what WWE is looking for, and then they sign him and bring him in. Now, whether or not he turns into the next Colin Delaney, or if he becomes, you know, Santino in his role, whereas, you know, sort of like this unlikely guy, but who manages to stick around, as opposed to Colin Delaney, who was only there for 6 months and was treated as a comedy jobber. I guess that remains to be seen, but again, I think anything that Generico take, whatever his shot is, it is his shot. He's earned it. I'm glad that he's taking it. And I'm really sad to see him go from the independent scene. But, you know, either way, I think it's it was his move to make. And I'm glad he took that opportunity. So best of luck to him. And I hope that, you know, well, what this means to me is, you know, personally, I have like a stack of PWG DVDs and Chikara DVDs left to watch. So he's still going to be on the independence to me probably until 2015, because it's going to take me years to get through this pile of DVDs I have, so there's plenty of material for me to watch.
Could be time for the return of El Specifico, the niche PG reference for people there. Like you saying that he's the antithesis of what they're looking for, it's true and false. Like, he has a really, what they look for, they want people to connect with an audience and create sympathy, and he has that in absolute spades. But then on the other side, his appearance could not be further from what they're looking for. So it is a really interesting...
I meant body type mostly, but you're right.
And I think in some ways, just the very fact he got signed is the biggest story. Like, even if he goes nowhere... I mean, people can laugh and say, you know, Colt Cabana never made it. I don't think anyone is laughing and saying Colt Cabana never made it. But to be deemed good enough that the release say, yeah, we want you, I think that is very much an achievement in itself. And especially with El Generico, someone who, as we all have said, does not fit their sort of cookie cutter bodybuilder image of what they want their wrestlers, their superstars to be.
And I mean, just look at Cara Del Rey, who is, you know, I mean, she's such a great wrestler, and you know she should be in the main brands doing wrestling, you know, because look, I love Caitlyn as much as the next person for her appearance. She's very pretty, I won't deny that, but you know, not impressing too many people, I don't think, and so, you know, and again, it's the fact that, you know, the Divas are, you know, it's not necessarily what WWE is looking for is to have a pure wrestler. Not to say Sarah Larray, I think, is very good looking. I think she could be a success right away in the same way Daniel Bryan could get over with the crowd. I think she would get over, but just, you know, she would be in the female division. But they have her as a trainer. You know, they're using her. And I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, they're using her abilities and she's getting paid for it. And she's training the divas and the developmental. If they use El Generico, if El Generico never makes TV, it's a shame. In the same way Del Rey not being on TV is a shame, but it's not something to riot over, I don't think, at this point. You know, if they use him as a trainer, if they use, you know, from what I've read or heard, his multilingual abilities, which is very funny considering he almost never speaks English in his promos, or Spanish for that matter. But apparently he's got great language skills and can speak a number of different languages. So if they use him for his talents and skills, but don't put him on screen, but he still makes money with the company and he's still a success in that way, and, you know, he gets something out of it, I don't think that's bad either.
Hmm. I don't think they'll hire him as just a trainer, but I think somewhere along the way, I may have just imagined it. I thought someone mentioned Daniel Bryan, but I was going to say Daniel Bryan previously was kind of the guy that it was like, I mean, he was so, so talented, but he was also very short and very pale. And when he got signed, everyone was like, oh my God. And I remember when he was on NXT the first night, he wrestled Jericho, and I was like, oh God, he's actually being pushed, kind of. And I mean, he lost weeks and weeks in a row on NXT, and that sucked.
Oh, sure. I mean, look, just like with Punk and even with Cesaro, there's a little bit of turnaround time, I think, before, you know, somebody who, when you make it, you have to go through that sort of awkward transition phase where WWE tries to make you into something that you're not before you get over with the fans on, you know, something about what you formerly got over as sort of sneaks up and convinces the crowd that to love you or to appreciate you. And then you get over based on that. And then WWE all of a sudden has to go back and say, oh, that's how they're getting over. I guess that's how we push them. Cause you know, Daniel Bryan doing what he's doing is just sort of an exaggerated right now with Hell No. And even before that, it was just a hugely exaggerated version of sort of the wacky comedy stuff that he would do, whether as a babyface or as a heel, and just showing his technical stuff. Cesaro, once they got him past the whole, you know, I'm a rugby dude and I've got this Axana broad. Sorry for the use of the word broad, by the way. But that's was, you know, and he dumped her. And once the fans got behind his ability and, you know, he's found an angle that's a little bit more comfortable for him, he's gotten over more and more and more. So I think there's always that awkward transition time.
All I was going to say was when Daniel Bryan, like, it seemed every small thing these were big things, like him kicking John Cena in the head and being the mystery partner at SummerSlam and winning the US title from The Miz. Each one of these things, I remember saying, well, even if he gets fired immediately after this, that is a huge achievement. And just it ramped up enough. Yes. He cashes in money in the bank. It's like, oh, God, maybe it's not a legit title reign, but technically Daniel Bryan's a world champion. And then he had a legitimate title. Well, you know, he had his short finishes, but he had a multi-month title reign. He was main eventing pay-per-views and his rivalry with Punk. And now he's over as a face tag champion and stuff. Like, this is a guy that, while I don't doubt that he was at one point the best wrestler in the world, he could still be. That's such a hard category, but I never doubted his technical ability, but I did not think he would make it to this degree. And while Generico may seem really unlikely to main event a pay-per-view or anything like that, Daniel Bryan did it, and who knows? So, you know, we'll just see. Talent gets you a long way, and Generico is certainly talented. So, masks. Stuff will come later, but for now, well done, El Specifico. But El Generico is not the only guy rumored to be linking with the WWE. We're not talking about the multiple mid-card sort of talents that they've let go over the years and are thinking about bringing back, such as Shelton Benjamin, MVP, these kind of guys. We're talking about rumored indie names that either have or will be receiving tryouts, allegedly, with the WWE, and we're not going to talk about them for too long, but we're just going to sort of go around and sort of discuss our thoughts on any potential that some of these guys have, or maybe we'll just do it all in one go, because that seems easier. So names that have been linked include Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, the Briscoe Brothers, who of course have had tryouts before, and they cut that infamous promo about as being aesthetically pleasing, where they said they were wowing everyone with their wrestling ability, but then were told you don't have the right look. But they've been invited back, so we'll see. Adam Cole is always rumored. I don't know exactly who has reported it most recently, but, you know, given how he looks and wrestles and acts and everything, he's always going to be length. I think that's only a matter of time. Sami Callihan has been rumored to receive a couple of tryouts now. Ricky Reyes has been in a couple of times. Mike Bennett got looked at, apparently. And that, of course, brings with it Maria. So, Johnny Gargano, the Dragon Gate USA Freedom Gate champion, he has been rumored. So we got all these guys from the indie slash Ring of Honor, whatever you want to class them as these days, scene, who have been looked at or are going to be looked at by the WWE. And, you know, people talk about how Triple H has sort of taken over the talent aspect of the WWE, and he's bringing in all these names that would not have been looked at in the same way. And, you know, it's an exciting time for an indie wrestling fan. And, like, you look at the guys in the WWE, and it's our guys who are on top. It's Punk, it's Brian, it's, you know, and you see Claudio Castagnoli, now Antonio Cesaro, breaking through, and The Shield with Tyler Black in it and John Moxley, and just all these guys that are exciting new talents. And it's, you know, it may not, maybe the mainstream audience don't give a damn, but given the audience of this podcast and this website, I think it's a pretty exciting time. Do you want to just any potential for any of those guys in the WWE at all, or just your thoughts at all? I don't know. That's a really difficult question for your answer, but I've given it to you anyway. I have faith in you.
Is this you're talking to me? Because again, you kind of got a little bit choppy there, bro.
I'm sorry.
That's all right,
Chris.
Well. Well, thanks for clarifying. So, well, anyway, I wanted to point out that Pac, just this past week, debuted on NXT. You can watch it on Hulu Plus. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of indie talents now. And as you said, you know, Triple H kind of given the credit that he is looking at these guys. And, of course, there was the stigma before that, you know, they couldn't work, quote-unquote, the WWE style, which, you know, it's true to a certain degree. And they have very easily, well, I guess, integrated the WWE style while still retaining a lot of their own unique characteristics and move sets, such as you know, CM Punk, he all the stuff he carried over from Kenta, and you know, Daniel Bryan still is just one of the best technicians in the ring. So when you hear of guys like the Briscoes, like Callahan and Reyes and Gargano possibly getting looked at, I think it's exciting. Obviously it's bittersweet for a lot of us who follow the indie scene, but you know, you just have to, I feel, you just kind of have to be happy for these guys. And, you know, glad that they're, you know, they might be able to get to a stage where they earn a good sum of money. And, you know, yes, it's a grueling schedule, but, I mean, you could make the argument that the indie scene is just as grueling, you know, and clearly not as a sure thing as knowing that, oh, you know, you're going to do a WWE tour. And you know where your money's going to come from. So I think there's a lot of potential, and this is a clear bias on my part, but I think there's a lot of potential for a guy like Jay Briscoe and for Sami Callihan. Guys like Gargano and Reyes and Mark Briscoe, well, you know, we see clear examples that size is not necessarily a factor as much. I mean, just look at Pac, look at Corey Graves, guys who used to be on the indie scene, and they're not exactly, you know, very large either. But when you talk about WWE and the look that they're going for, there has to be a certain equated size. You know, we all hear the rumored behavior of Vince McMahon and how he doesn't really like to look down on his champions in terms of height. And you know, for good or for bad, you can kind of understand that in the sense that you are putting out a persona, you're putting out a character onto the air, and it has to connect with the people. And obviously, those of us who follow the indie scene, we have a lot of leeway. We love the stories and the characters that these guys portray at the level that we watch them. But there has to be something to be said for the transition to mainstream. And, you know, as the Briscoes cut that promo about being, quote-unquote, not aesthetically pleasing, you know, yeah, we don't like the cookie cutter thing, but there is still something to be said. You know, you maybe the mainstream fans would not want to see a Mark Briscoe without his teeth in at certain points. You know, and that's That's something that should be noted. But
I don't know. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that would probably get over quite huge in sort of like that, the same way that Hornswoggle might get over huge because it's so different, you know.
Right. It's so different that it's unique. It's kind of like having in TNA how I think we can all kind of agree that they have dropped the ball on Samoa Joe and he's just so different and they just never really capitalized on that. So all right, I see your point on that. I just mean in terms of a general sense, a sort of, maybe a certain, I'm going to say, you know, above 60% of the WWE fans, you know, maybe might see Mark Briscoe with no teeth and go, okay, well, that's kind of silly, you know, and not take it as serious, well, not seriously, but, you know, not really connect with him on that level. But yeah, you know, there should always be, and as we've said before, Vince McMahon likes to say he has a variety show. And so, there should be someone for everyone on the card. And the Briscoes certainly could have that niche. So could a guy like Sami Callihan. I don't mean to sound like I'm throwing Ricky Reyes under the bus, but, I mean, I was a fan of his when he's in Ring of Honor. But to put him in the WWE style, not so sure where he'd fit. And maybe he'll surprise me. So, you know, that's kind of my overall thoughts on it. Obviously, this is all conjecture. So what... You know, we can't really say what they would do, but I would point to guys like Corey Graves and Pac, who are in NXT currently, and just see how they're doing. Cassius Ohno, obviously, is a great example, and who knows when he'll get called up to the main roster.
Yeah. Briscoe is, it's more that they're some kind of... ...goes throughout the years. They're kind of wrestling... a bit of a WWE style and Ring of Honor already. It's not, they're not too crazy anymore. Mark doesn't.
That is true. Yes.
Yeah.
As many things. I think he's learned that, like, however many knee surgeries he's had, probably best to slow down a bit. I just think it's more of an issue of, you know, they curse a lot, and I'm not saying they're not able to control their mouths, but I've always thought TNA a bit more of a better fit for them, where they might be able to get away with a bit more, but. You know.
Yeah, but you know what? When the Dudley Boys got signed from ECW, let it go, man. That's a callback, by the way. They just went to town on fans, and they were ruthless with their curses. And they went to WWE, WWF at the time, and they fit in. They managed to get their act over without cursing, you know, and doing anything egregious like that. I think the Briscoes can definitely do the same as well. And, you know, you just hear the rumors about them all the time. And, yeah. You know, they've done tryouts before. And, you know, I don't know if this time is anything any different than before. I mean, they're the tag champs in Ring of Honor right now. So, you know, and then there is also the factor of, you know, the tag division in WWE is more important nowadays than it used to be, you know, like all the talk of building up the tag team division, you know, and they've done that, or at least they've made, I mean, as of a couple months ago, now things have kind of slightly eroded. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth, they're no longer teaming, Tyson Kidd got injured, so his team with Justin Gabriel's gone. But so some of the teams are gone, but the importance of the belts are actually still pretty important right now, given the attention they have, the Hell No versus Team Rhodes Scholars program.
And the primetime players are still in there. So, I mean, they're still established teams.
Yeah, so for the first time in a long time, the Briscoes could come in to WWE and find a spot in a tag team division. You know, certainly probably wouldn't be a very long term deal, although maybe you never know. Again, it's like for the first time there's this potential that they could make it. And, you know, if they toned down their act as far as cursing and stuff like that, I think they could do what the Dudley Boys did and make it through. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's positivity there, or at least I would be positive about that. And they really do, you know, to kind of link it back to Ring of Honor, the tag team division, I think they've done all that they can in Ring of Honor at this point. So, you know, we're setting all the records and all that. And you know, if they go, it's not, you know, I don't know if it'll be a death blow to the Ring of Honor tag division, but it might actually be best because it'll allow for
the teams underneath them just start to rise up, and you know, the cream of the crop from the indie scene and from who they're booking will come up.
Yeah,
and I want to say I feel like it's kind of unfair to expect that, you know, when one of our favorites, like an El Generico, gets called up, instantly everyone starts talking about, oh, you know, how is he going to get pushed? What are they going to make his gimmick? And it's like, I just feel that that's slightly unfair because while, it, you know, we all have our fandom and, you know, we want the best for them, there is only so much space on every card, on every roster. And I would be happy to see, say, a talent of Adam Cole, for example. Sure, it'd be great if he could one day aspire to be WWE or world champion. But in a realistic sense, with his technical ability, I would really just be happy to see him stay in kind of that United States Intercontinental title picture. And he's just putting on the greatest matches on the card. And, you know, where the, you know, there are other talents who are a little bit more towards the world and the WWE title in terms of their look. And I'm not saying that Adam Cole doesn't have it, but what I mean in the sense that to expect that when one of your favorites gets signed that, oh, if he doesn't get pushed to the main card, that's unfair. I just don't quite understand that that should be the expectation that we have. We should be happy to say, like, say, for example, if El Generico, we all know how great he is. But say he kind of becomes the next Zack Ryder or next Santino, I would still be happy that he's getting a paycheck and can really, you know, pursue other avenues. And I would, you know, even though it may not be what I feel his talent could aspire to be, I would just be happy that he is in, well, for argument's sake, the largest wrestling promotion in the world.
I'm sure there are still people who are saying, you know, why hasn't Cassius Ohno been called up to the main card? You know, with good points, you know.
Yes. But I am one of those people sometimes. I'll admit that. Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? It's, you know, he's setting the deal up in NXT, and, you know, it took Seth Rollins 2 years and a gimmick I really wouldn't have called for him, but he made it work. And so him and Ambrose and Roman Reigns, you know, they went through the system and they made it through. I'm sure the same will happen with Cassius Ohno. He may not be Cassius Ohno by the time he goes up to the main card, or he may be in a slightly different gimmick. Who knows? You know, but they're in the system right now, and I think for the first time in a long time, you know, the perception of the independent talents has changed, and you know, because everybody has proven themselves, you know, now guys who, you know, like back who's wrestled as Adrian Neville, and you know, they pushed him huge. I saw that NXT match, you know, and obviously William Regal was, you know, totally behind him, and you know, just you see these guys, and you know, NXT, granted, it doesn't have the visibility in America, but you know, it's sort of like that on deck circle, you know, they're coming up, it's going to happen, and just when they get that shot, that's good. So a guy like Cole, I think, would fit in just fine. A guy like, I mean, even, you know, Ricky Reyes, I'm sure they would find, you know, they'll find spots for these guys. Maybe it'll be close to what they did in the independent scene, and maybe not. But, you know, that they're actively looking at them and they're accepting that these guys have talent is a huge development and a very positive one. You know, one of the reasons why I started watching Ring of Honor and the independents in 2003 was because everything was so awful and boring for a long time on WWE television. Or, you know, one brand would be good, the other brand wouldn't be. There would, you know, there would be like Sylvain Grenier, I remember, and Rene Dupree being featured on television, and those guys just bored me to tears.
You didn't like La Resistance, Ari? Really?
No. Oh, no. Although individually, not the greatest. And as a tag team, just slightly better than not the greatest. So, but you know what? That's why I watched the independents, was to tune into these talents. And so, you know, these talents are getting, their names are getting called faster and faster. I mean, Brian Cage, you know, could you have imagined Brian Cage? You know, he's been a U-man for years, but, you know, then he all of a sudden gets featured on TNA, and granted, he didn't win, and, you know, I guess the idea was not for him to win, but, like, you know, these people who you see on the independents, PWG, Chikara, and, you know, Grub Honor, elsewhere, CZW, AIW, you know, the opportunities are now there
faster, and they're going to approach faster and come more often than before because of this change in attitude. So I just hope this change in attitude does last, because, you know, and that Triple H does see the success rate go up with the people who they take in from the independent scene. Because once you do that, once you set up your developmental, this is, you know, you're setting up the future of the promotion, and it can mean only good things for them. You know, yeah. Does it mean the independents are slightly depleted? Yes, but maybe that, again, you know, sometimes soil's got to be fertile. Or no, how's the saying go? Sometimes you got to leave soil alone so it can become fertile again. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, there's essentially, now that these guys are signed or will potentially be signed, it opens up more spots, and that can only make the indie scene better. You know, there's time for guys like a Cole or Sami Callihan or the Briscoes to move on, and then guys like ACH and Silas Young can come in and kind of fill those holes and really show what they can do.
And it took time for Sami Callihan to get that word out. I mean, he had to change his body. And believe me, that is not easy to do. I mean, I don't care. You know, the thing that kind of gets me upset, you know, about even a guy like Matt Hardy getting, you know, or, you know, getting blamed for his being fat or weight loss or weight gain, I should say. You know, it's just so difficult and it takes effort. And so for Sammy to do that, it just is so praiseworthy. So,
yeah, guys like Callan, guys like BJ Whitmer, who I think he said he ballooned up, right? I believe that's what he said, and now he's back down to, you know, he looks in very good shape. I'm not saying that WWE's looking at him, but, you know, he's in good shape now. So,
right, yeah. It takes I think, a lot more effort than the fans on the outside are willing to concede see for themselves.
You just know all the ones that are saying, oh, Cassius Ohno doesn't have a six-pack. He's never going to make it. They're probably the fattest fans there are, like.
Well, Matt, I wanted to ask your opinion on, so, you know, TNA has that British boot camp going on. I don't know if you've watched or not, but, you know, a guy that I know you've spoken to, Marty Scurll, I mean, getting a chance in TNA now, that might not be, quote unquote, as impressive as WWE looking, but it's still a shot that perhaps in the past he would not have gotten.
It's crazy to me that this guy that I walked past between classes and saw him doing like F5s on grass and thinking, what a dumbass.
That's awesome.
That's playing for TNA. I haven't actually seen the show, but I hear about it and I am very excited for him. And I hope he makes it. I mean, it's not like there's a huge, I mean, there is British wrestling, and everyone who's listening to this and is British, please do go support your local British wrestling shows, but you don't hear about a lot of sort of homegrown British talent that doesn't just immediately go to America and just, like Nigel McGuinness, he never really wrestled in Britain, but anyway. But for this guy that truly, to me, is like a local guy that I know to make it, that's crazy to me. I never thought that would happen. Opportunities out there, and you hear it all the time that, I mean, casual fans and, you know, more hardcore fans alike, everyone in the WWE looks the same. They all, like, Cody Rhodes is a great wrestler, but you had, like, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, Randy Orton, when they were a stable, they all look the damn same as each other in their identical gear and everything. And just, you get all these wrestlers that are, you know, Vince McMahon type wrestlers, and it gets boring. And I hear I subscribe to this podcast. The guy, he brings up wrestling every now and then. It's not a wrestling podcast, but he occasionally brings it up, and he comments on how, you know, they just all look the same to him now, and he can't get into it. And I think people are realizing that, and they want to find something different again. That's what everyone liked when they were a child. Everyone was so crazy and different. And you can have the debate about, you know, the Hogan era and the Attitude era, but what they had in common is everyone was really different. And I think they're realizing that and going back towards it. And that's why you're getting these less orthodox guys getting signed and indie guys getting a break. And they're looking to capitalize on all these opportunities, international stars bringing in, I know Sin Cara hasn't worked out, but hey, they took a shot. They signed the biggest star in Mexico. You know, they tried, and like TNA trying to bring in some British fans and capitalize on the British wrestlers, capitalize on the fact they have a huge following in the UK. So think, why don't we try and make a star out of UK wrestling, and, you know, get a revenue stream going there. So points, but I think they're related somehow.
But I bet you, if you showed that guy a picture of Cody Rhodes with his mustache, he would laugh.
But, because, you know, you fire up one of the WWE video games and you scroll through, and it's like, dude in trunks. In trunks, number two. And it's like, speaking of Charlie Haas has some pretty colorful language. this toast. He's doing some videos. I haven't seen them, but I gather they're dumb. Ari, would you care to enlighten me?
Look, yeah, I really like the idea that they're going for, and I wrote about this on, you know, Twitter and all that stuff a couple days ago. I like that they're trying, you know, now that Shelton Benjamin is likely very much out of the picture in Ring of Honor for now, and, you know, Charlie Haas apparently sticking around, and, you know, they're trying to do something with all the heat that he gets, which is a great idea. I mean, you know, he gets people to hate him, like legitimately hate him, and I think you can do something with that. And so they started, Ring of Honor started to run these, I guess, teaser trailer things that with Charlie Haas, they put it on their YouTube feed for like 10 seconds of the clip where he's talking about, you know, how something pisses him off. But he really doesn't, I mean, there's so much more that can be done with it because he doesn't tell us why or what he's going to do about it. I mean, the example I put on my Twitter was warm beer. Warm beer pisses him off. And I think that's great. I think that's funny. I think it adds some sort of like weird, you know, personality quirk. And, you know, I think you can do something with that if you can elaborate on it. I mean, these things shouldn't be 10 seconds. They should be like 30, 45 seconds where he talks about why he hates warm beer or why he hates the world or something, you know. You know, he hates warm beer because he can't get a good workout when it's warm beer, you know, or, you know, and so and so, you know, Rhett Titus, last time you were at the bar, you tripped me over my foot and I had to spill my beer. That pissed me off even more. And now I'm going to take it down on you. So, I mean, there's so much that can be done with it. And I really think it's the right direction, but I really wish they didn't just like, to sort of set up shop in front of a wall and said, okay, Charlie, yeah, just, you know, DVDs, you know, microwave, skull caps, and resistance bands, go. And it's just like, that's all he said. Resistance bands piss me off. Skull caps piss me off. It's just like, come on, give us more, because it could work. So that's my take on it.
Well, they really remind me of those old WWF vignettes from back in like the late 80s, early 90s, you know, just little 5-7 second snippets and you're supposed to get something out of it. You're supposed to start understanding the talent a little bit more. And, you know, Ari, you know, I know you and I have talked about this on Twitter. It's just, I don't get what it is we're supposed to get out of this. Like, he's supposed to be the hosshole. Okay. So he's annoyed at a lot of stuff. He gets angry at stuff, but there's nothing in there that really makes fans angry. Like, the first one that caught my eye was, I think it was JBL. JBL pissed off Charlie Haas, and I watched it, and I was like, okay, well, why would I as a fan care that JBL pissed you off? I don't care. You know, give me something that pisses you off that makes me go, oh, well, that shouldn't piss you off. Like, if he said, oh, the Briscoes being the champions again, that pisses me off. And then I'm like, but hey, you know,
And people might agree with him.
Well, that could happen, yes. And if he brought his wife on the TV, maybe more people would agree with him. But that's not the point. The point is
to get him heat.
Yeah, I just don't feel. I just don't see where some of the topics he brings up, how that is supposed to build that heat. Because it's not. I can't even call it cheap heat. It's nothing. There's no substance there. So, right. But I do agree with you, Art, that I do think it could work in theory.
Yeah. Oh, in theory, yeah. This is a good idea with very bad execution, and I mean they need to like redo it all and like do extended cuts because, you know, unless it's I cannot see where it's going right now unless it's like
I can't even speculate. It's just weird. I really think like that gimmick can work. And it can even work. Like it can be entertaining, but still create a lot of heel heat for him. And, you know, I just don't think they've done that yet.
Yeah, I think it could be similar to like those vignettes back in the day when Jim Cornette would come on and say, you know what really, you know, pisses me off, and he goes on a little bat crazy rant. Or even Steve Carino, who used to do it on commentary. I mean, do something similar to that. Give Charlie Haas an edge or something. But yeah. These are just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, let me care. Just what do you, you know, tell me what you're going to do because of that, and give me your solution, and tell me your point, and let me care about the fact that this pisses you off, and that you're, you know, if you're going to take it out on your opponent or whatever the hell, you know. And once that happens, then you start to care, you know. And that's pretty much the point for Haas's deal. I really hope that they can adjust that and, you know, make it fit. Make it work.
Please just let me care.
Yeah, I think that's, you could say a lot about Ring of Honor even now, even after Jim Cornette has left. It's like, I still, you know, let me care about these things that are happening, you know?
Well, what you may care about is, if you are a fan of Ring of Honor television, the show, you are able to watch it early on their website they're putting it up early. For you to take a look at. I'm really out of it due to my employment situation, so I have actually missed the sort of terms and conditions or whatnot. But I assume you just need an account on their website, and then you can...
And $1.99 US dollars.
It's last year or the middle of last year. I swear they've done this before.
Yes, yeah, they've done it before, and it seems that they're putting them up. I believe they only put up two early episodes, Ari? Like this?
Yeah, they did this. Yeah, they started doing this advanced, preview. I mean, it's the whole episode, but your ability to advance view it by, you know, purchasing it. They did that for the Build to Final Battle, the TV episodes, and they're doing it for the next two episodes of their television, and I think they're going to continue to do it throughout the year.
Yeah, and I think that it is actually kind of neat. Obviously, it quote-unquote gives away the fact that they're taped, but everyone already knows that. Everyone already knows that TV tapings occur and that the show is not live, so that there's no reason to hide that.
Right, and if you have to watch it online, chances are you're watching it because it's not in your market. So, you know, you'd be trying to catch up anyway through YouTube, or actually I don't think it's on YouTube anymore, or whatever, you know, whatever outlets. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. It's a very praiseworthy thing to say, for a couple bucks you can, you know, watch these episodes. And I think for the shows that are like right before the pay-per-view, the iPay-per-views, it's actually incredibly important because, you know, those might be airing the same day as the show. So people who are going to the show or people who care about the product can see it way, you know, with some time ahead and be prepared for, you know, be as prepared as you can possibly be to watch an iPay-per-view. I mean, and granted, it's not a huge audience that's going to do this, but every dollar counts. Every viewer counts, when you're Ring of Honor right now.
Sure. And linked into this whole, preparing for an iPay-per-view by making sure you see all the TV, they have announced something that could potentially change sort of the continuity or the way things are done when it comes to their television versus their iPay-per-view. They've announced, I don't know how permanent this is, but I think they're going to do it at least twice, that they're going to start to do TV tapings the night after they do iPay-per-views. I know they've announced they're going to do this in New York during WrestleMania weekend, so that's good for them, having potentially some new television.
Well, before that, they're doing it in Chicago in March, so there's the 11th anniversary, March 2nd. And then a TV taping on the 3rd. They're doing it in New York. And then they're also doing it in Toronto. So they are for Border Wars. So they are doing it at least three times.
Well, I was just saying, it's pretty smart to do it in New York, especially because, when it's WrestleMania, you do get some fans that may not have ever seen the product before. And if you're live at a TV taping, you may be quite motivated to say, hey, I want to see myself on TV and get some buddies up and say, hey, look, there's me on, this is the thing I went to. And maybe that doesn't equate to permanent fans, but hey, it's worth a shot. I mean, I think this is a good idea because, I mean, what tends to happen is you, I don't know if this will actually make a drastic change, but you tend to get results of iPay-per-views spoiled for you if they happen to get the continuity wrong, wherein they're taping TV that goes past the iPay-per-view. This hasn't tended to happen recently because they do the road rage thing to sort of artificially lengthen out or put some distance between things. But you've got it back in the day wherein they would be taping episodes that would, and an iPay-per-view would fall between them, and it was really difficult for them to not spoil outcomes of matches. So by taping directly afterwards, they can hopefully get, like, separate them out enough. I don't know if that will even affect anything, but just I do like the idea of taping TV directly after an iPay-per-view and sort of keeping the buzz going and using any momentum you've got and pushing forward with it and stuff. I like this idea. Ari, do you like this idea?
Yes, I do. I 100% agree with you. And this is something that I think we've talked about a couple times on podcasts. I know I've talked about it, written about it in columns and stuff, even going back to the HDNet days. I, for the life of me, I don't know why they didn't take the shows on the road, the TV tapings on the road, to main outlets that they, you know, they've had these huge crowds and, you know, they should have done this much sooner. And I'm glad that they're doing it now because it's the right move. You know, going to, you know, doing Chicago, doing Toronto, in New York. I mean, these are all big crowds and, you know, Ring of Honor territory. Doing the two tapings after Supercard of Honor 7 is also very smart because it's, you know, first of all, New York is a huge event, a huge market, hardcore fan base. They're going to, you know, and again, Hammerstein is, you know, one of their larger venues. So it's going to be, it's been great for some of the other productions like WWE and ECW shows. And I can't imagine it not translating it well on television or to television. It is in my mind a perfect place for them to run a TV taping, and they're getting the WrestleMania crowd, guys, you know, who are coming in, girls, of course, are coming in from all over the world, and you know, it's a huge weekend, so one more show is gonna, you know, we're gonna get wrestling overload, or you know, at that point. But it's I think it's a good move. I hope they continue doing this the entire year, so that every TV taping set has a different vibe to it, and we'll feel more relevant. And as you said, it's going to save a little bit on spoilers. It's going to cut down the predictability. These are all positives in my view. So bring it on. But it, you know,
way their entire as a road. You want to see it but don't want to pay. It can't be the most sensible financial decision. I encourage it on the sort of DVD shows, but to put pretty much the entire of an iPay-per-view on free TV, or even if it's just extended highlight, like, I don't really agree with that, but anyway.
Yeah, it's so annoying, you know, because, you know, you pay good money to see it, or for those of you who do, you pay good money to see it. You don't want it to be given away for free, you know, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think about the whole...
I have a lot of different thoughts on it. It is mostly positive. I definitely agree with everything you guys have said, so I'm not going to repeat it. I feel like also a big positive, as Ari, you pointed out, though, is that, you know, the TV taping is going to have a different crowd, a different feel, so we're not going to get that impact zone kind of feel where, you know, the fans are burnt out. And I'm not saying that the Maryland fans have ever felt that way to me, but I think that it's clear that you know, every once in a while, a little variety is better, and it could bring a certain level. It could bring Ring of Honor out of that, oh, they always tape in the same place, and you see the same kind of reactions, and now you're getting more vibrant feels from different fans everywhere. And I think that can bring an important kind of touch. And maybe if you were a fan who watched Ring of Honor and maybe you were hesitant to go out to see it because you're like, oh, it's a DVD taping. Well, now it's a TV taping, and this is really important. And you're going to see something after, as we said, the continuity issues, and the pay-per-view happened the night before, so there's really no reason not to go and to the TV tapes and not want to get spoiled. I guess and I haven't watched the episodes yet. I do watch them when Ring of Honor puts them out for free. But I believe I read on Twitter also that there's some production tweaks as well, which would be nice to see. And then, you know, seeing different arenas, seeing how they set it up, I think that could be good. It could maybe be, like, give them the opportunity, and not that they haven't had it before, to really step up how their television looks. You know, we've all kind of clamored, hey, you know, make this TV look better. There's no reason that it can't, we're not saying it has to look like Raw or SmackDown with the huge high-def sets, but it could look as good as, say, NXT. Or even Impact, you know, just put a little bit of money there. And I do believe that Joe Koff has expressed opinions that, yes, we're going to really try to up the ante, put a little bit money towards production, and I think this is a good step for them. I guess overall, as you guys said, you know, we'll see if they continue this for throughout the year, and hopefully the fans will go out and really show their support for the Ring of Honor product, because they're trying. It shows now. They're efforting to make it better. So hopefully everyone gives it a shot.
Well, speaking of TV, we're going to close this one out soon. We're going to keep this a nice short podcast for once, say. Okay? They did tape some TV in early January. I think it was on the 5th of January they taped. There's some stuff going on. But it's going to lead towards an iPay-per-view, I assume. We're not going to go through this match by match or even episode by episode. What we are going to do, I've decided we're going to play a little game. I have put together what I think will be the next iPay-per-view card based on these TV tapings. I'm going to run it down, and then Chris and Ari are going to critique it and tell me how much I suck at predicting stuff, basically. So the obvious one would
no
be
problem. Kevin
defending the Ring of Honor world title against Jay Lethal. They've been confronting each other lots. They did it more at the TV tapings, and Nigel told Lethal he'd get a shot, but only Steen agreed to it, and Steen apparently did. So I guess that's happening. It looks like the Briscoes will be defending the tag team titles against Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, the new hot team. I was really impressed with Fish and O'Reilly's work on TV and at Final Battle. And they are going to be in a tag team gauntlet on TV that is going to result in them getting a shot at the Briscoes. So that one seems set in stone as well. I believe Adam Cole will be defending the TV title against Matt Hardy. They have their non-title match at Final Battle. Matt Hardy won by nefarious means. They were going to have a rematch, and there's just some humming and ahhing about whether Cole will put the belt on the line because of Matt Hardy using underhanded tactics, but I think it's going to lead to Cole putting the belt on the line and getting a clean win over Matt Hardy, or possibly the end of the world as we know it, apparently, if Matt Hardy were to win a belt and Ring of Honor. Michael Elgin and Roderick Strong are apparently going to be facing in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Be interesting to see how this plays out on TV. Roddy, destroyed Grizzly Redwood, I think, and Elgin beat Mike Bennett, so I think they're just sort of dancing around and towards each other again. They've both cut free of Truth Martini, apparently, who's going his own way now. So it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together. That's all the stuff that is easy to predict because they've pretty much outright said it. Into some stuff I'm putting together based on the matches and whatnot. I think we're going to see the American Wolves facing Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Corino, possibly Rhino subbed in for one of the two, maybe 3-on-2, who knows? They're the Wolves, they take on any odds. Just because during the tag gauntlet, Scum attacked the Wolves and cost them the gauntlet, arguably, and it seems the big WrestleMania weekend match they're building towards is, or one of them, is the Briscoes against the American Wolves, and they need to sort of delay that for the time being while the Briscoes are busy with other people. So I figure they'll feed Scum to the Wolves and say, hey, look, the American Wolves are back, and just try and really reestablish them as a dominant force. So I think they're going to do that. And then we've got the top prospect tournament, which has been playing out on TV. And shockingly, ACH did not advance. But people that we know that have advanced are Matt Taven, QT Marshall, Tadarius Thomas, and Silas Young. I could be completely wrong, but I think they may do the semi-finals and the finals in one night on iPay-per-view, but that may be giving a lot of camera time to some relatively new faces, so they may just do the finals, I don't know. But I would say that the finals would be QT Marshall and Tadarius Thomas, based on the fact that they had a sort of mini-storyline towards the end of the year when they were both first being brought in, where they teamed together and lost, and Marshall attacked Thomas. So I would guess they would go over Silas and Taven, respectively, and then I guess Marshall will win over Thomas. So I don't know, actually, I can't call that, but either way, those are the matches that I saw and had to think about. It would leave Charlie Haas, Rhett Titus, BJ Whitmer, the Bravados, CNC, Wrestle Factory, and Rhino without matches, and I couldn't really be bothered to make anything of those. But that was my game of predicting the iPay-per-view card. Chris, how does that sound to you? Any of those sound good or particularly?
No, I think it all sounds good except for the top prospect tournament stuff. I think they will probably leave that to TV, given that...
If I can just...
Go ahead, Ari.
Yeah, if I can just jump in, because I just clicked on the ROH Wrestling TV tapings page for February 2nd in Baltimore. And in fact, they are doing the semifinals and the finals of the Top Prospect Tournament on that February 2nd taping. So, Matt, you are incorrect.
Well, good. We will hopefully have those results up for that. But yeah, I mean, because given who Matt, you know, you called off all the names that don't have matches. I mean, you just kind of put a tag match together, two single matches, and you have a complete card. You know, everything else that you called out, you know, that's five matches right there. You really only need three left. And but yeah, I couldn't really argue with it, given that, as you said, they practically spelled it out for us that that's what the next iPay-per-view would be. Really, I think it's going to be a strong card. I don't, Well, I mean, in terms of the matches that you called off, I mean, Steen versus Lethal, I don't think that's going to be bad. O'Reilly and Fish versus the Briscoes, that, to me, doesn't look horrible either. And Elgin Strong and 2 out of 3 Falls. Hardy versus Cole is, you know, it is what it is. And then the American Wolves versus Scum. I just don't see a bad match in any of that. So, I'm not saying that would be great.
I see Steen versus Lethal right there. I'm kidding.
Well, No. I haven't seen the Killer Instinct DVD yet. I do have it. It's actually sitting right over there. But from what I heard, it was a good match. So Ari, what do you think is going to be a bad match?
It's not that it's going to be bad matches, but to me, it seems like this is a lot of it is rehashing Final Battle. And, you guys know I was not a fan of the results of Final Battle. So, to me, I'm just not that interested. I don't want to see Kevin Steen versus Jay Lethal. I will be kicking and screaming, you know, if Jay Lethal wins the title. It just doesn't resonate with me at all. Wolves versus Scum sounds fairly fine. I don't think there'll be a problem with that. Cole versus Hardy was good. I don't think the match will be bad, but again, it's like, well, you know, again, the booking that got messed up on Final Battle 2012 and how they us and what they do with the, you know, if Cole doesn't win here, I mean, it's just like, it shows a complete fundamental lack of understanding about why Adam Cole should be pushed. And, I mean, just, you know, 2 out of 3 falls. I actually think that will probably be, of all the announced matches or the matches that, you know, they're leaning towards, that will probably be the highlight, I think, especially if they get time, because Strong and Elgin are, I think they have good chemistry together as they had chemistry as partners. And I think they'll do well as opponents. So, you know, to me, it seems like, you know, a pretty predictable, average, you know, card. You know, I think the wrestlers will put the effort in, but a lot of it also depends on the booking directions and where they go. I would hope that some of the younger talents do get a chance to shine. I'd like to see Darius Thomas get a spotlight match where he either wins against a strong opponent or really, really does shine. And, you know, Fish and O'Reilly, I think, need a good win. And I really hope that, you know, we get some sort of further progression on the Prince Nana, Artie Evans stuff, Truth Martini stuff, if that go anywhere. If it doesn't, that's fine. But, you know, these are dangling threads that need to be dealt with. So hopefully, you know, either on TV that leads to the high pay-per-view or at the high pay-per-view itself, they get dealt with.
Yeah. When actually is this high pay-per-view happening? I don't even know.
I believe early March. Is it March 2nd or March 1st?
Yeah, no, it's March 2nd. I'm assuming the 11th anniversary in Chicago. Yeah,
yes. They've got plenty of time to build this then.
They do. And, I mean, there are, you know, there's the February TV tapings. And then, you know, there are tonight's, well, by the time you guys are listening to this, there is an event happening on the 18th in Dearborn, Michigan, and there will be an event in Milwaukee on the 19th. We will have results for both events up on the page, hopefully by the time you listen to this. But yeah, there's a lot of time. There's a lot of time to build towards these events, yeah. Or toward the 11th anniversary anyway.
Yeah, February or something, but no, okay. So, sort of class this up a bit and make it all a bit more exciting. But at the moment, it's sounding like a B show to me. But it's the 11th anniversary, so, you know, hopefully they can bring out some surprises and stuff. But I don't know, just at the moment, that's not screaming must-see show to me. But
yeah.
Wrestling, but...
The last two anniversary shows, I think, you know, have been very mixed bags. I think 9th anniversary show was very much like a, I called it a way station pay-per-view at the time. And, you know, it was, but it ended up being very, very solid with wrestling and really, like, good decisions and good booking and stuff like that. So it ended up being a very watchable show. Last year, you know, again, also had mixed reviews, you know, with the... Clash of the
Wolves Future Rising.
Yes, the Future Wolves American Shock, or whatever the hell we called them at the time. You know, American Future Shock Wolves or Future Americans or whatever. You know, it was either you really liked that or, you know, some people thought it went too long. You know, that also, that event had decent action, some pretty good mid-card matches. Like, I think Elgin fought Perkins, TJ Perkins, and, there was another really good match, I think, or well, the red tag team, I think, was, who did he team up with? TJ Perkins losing my mind, I don't know.
Wasn't that Amazing Red and TJ Perkins against Elgin and Strong?
Yes, okay, so I sort of had, yeah, you're right, you're 100% right, so I sort of had in my mind. That kind of stood out as a very good match, and, you know, but it was sort of like, I think a lot of people thought it was an uneven card, so, you know, the anniversary shows are a little bit up for debate, you know, as of, you know, recent history, if they live up to the hype or not.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like, you know, WrestleMania's around the corner, guys, so the good stuff's...
Yeah, I wonder if, like, that's a part of it, like, that the WrestleMania weekend shows have supplanted the anniversary shows as, like, this, you know, the emphasis of events and booking decisions and all that.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to call that a day, people.
Before we get out of here, there's just something I have to do. I am making my, and I know this is completely insane, but I'm doing it anyway because it's January. And if it comes true, it's fantastic. I am predicting the main event for Final Battle 2013, Steen versus Elgin for the title. I'm officially making that my vote. And if I end up wrong, whatever, I'm making it now.
Dropping the bomb.
Ari, what do you think? What do you think the main event of Final Battle will be?
Maybe I shouldn't say main event. I should say title match. That's what I because, you know, whatever.
So do you have Steen as champion or do you have Elgin as champion?
I have Steen as champion, Elgin winning the title at Final Battle 2013 and really capping it off. It could happen, you know, before that, but that's where I feel like they're going. Just because I don't want to see Jay Lethal as champion. I just don't, but, you know.
Ring of Honor, slow burn, trademark, Ring of Honor.
You know, it's like, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, when they decided to do this slow burn kind of stuff over the last few years, it's like they go too much in that direction. You know, it's like it took a full year for Michael Elgin and Roger Strong to split apart and all that. And I mean, yeah, maybe it'll take another year before Elgin actually wins the title. I think Elgin might actually win the title at Border Wars or Supercard of Honor and have a rematch at Border Wars. I think we need to move on to something else. So, I mean, I don't know what I would say as a Final Battle 2013 main event or title match.
Yeah, I'm not asking you guys to do it. I'm just doing
No, I think that's fun. We should, I should do that. I'm just sort of trepidatious about it. I'm very fearful. I'll put myself on the line there. I'm going to say it's Michael Elgin versus Davey Richards in some sort of stipulation match for the title. Michael Elgin. I could see Richards rewinning the title at that point, but we shall see. So that's my shot in the dark.
Who would be the heel then? Davey Richards is kind of a face with the rebuilding of the American Wolves. So right. Elgin?
No. I think Elgin is a face the whole way through. I would say likely to be a
rematch, the rematch of Showdown in the Sun.
Let's say babyface style, because I like that the most. But with the outside shot of Richards going deal or something like that. So we move into 2014 with a little something different. I think the Wolves do win the tag titles before the year is out. I just don't know. I mean, I could see their reunion lasting most of the year, but I don't know.
Right, since we don't know the rest of the schedule, I mean, we really only know up to what, to May? So, yeah, it'd be hard to predict. Oh, I know they're going to win it in October.
I'm probably going to be completely wrong. That's just sort of what my mind went to. But you're right in that they're using the Wolves to reboot the tag division. So, yeah, I probably will be proven to be a fool by the end of this, but that's okay. I was a fool.
Well, I think I will be too, so.
suppose I should play too. I think we'll still work for Ring of Honor by the end of the year.
You know, I almost wanted to say Cole versus Steen, but I'm like, man, if Cole gets signed, then I look like an idiot, and it could happen. So
Cole is still there, absolutely, but I think Cole's gone before the end of the year. I think you take the belt off at WrestleMania weekend. I think you give the visiting fans a spectacle and say, this is Michael Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
So Steen wouldn't be defending. I think Steen needs to get out of the main event for a little while. I don't know. Elgin is a face defending against... No, I don't know. Tommaso. The only guys working for the company. I don't know.
I think it would depend on how Ciampa's rehabilitation is, and you know, because they're obviously going to slot him in the feud against, the Barrister and QT Marshall. So that's going to go for a little bit, but I guess it would just depend on timing with that.
Michael Elgin versus Xavier.
He was in the building at Final Battle, wasn't he? So you never know.
Yes.
You know what would be cool? I don't know if that's feasible. I guess just fantasy booking in my head would be like a former champions match where like anybody who's a former Ring of Honor world champion get involved. So you have current guys like Kevin Steen and Roderick Strong who are still in company, and then you can bring back anybody who's capable of bringing you know, being brought back, which is probably isn't that many people at this time. Maybe it is only Xavier.
It would really just be Xavier because they can't bring back Noble. They can't bring back Danielson, they can't. Well, I guess they could put in Nigel, but that would.
I don't think that's realistic whatsoever. That didn't happen.
They could bring back everyone's favorite Loki. Yay!
Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess this is just a match I'll have to book on WWE 13 or something. But yes, you know, that just literally just popped into my mind. So.
Would be kind of neat for them to have that kind of a gimmick at an anniversary. You know what I mean? Like, kind of pay homage, but they. I don't know. They just don't.
Champion Invitational. How about you just expand it to like anyone who is a champion at all? And then you could have like Tony Mameluke and
You know, who else was it? Who else was like an out there? Like Saul Renoro can come back.
And, Doug Williams could make his return, and that would be fantastic.
That's right. Well, you know, now we're just really fantasy booking.
Yeah, now we've just gone crazy. So Matt, we should.
My answer. The belt from Steen, and then he defends against Rock in the final battle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, damn. That is good. I like that.
Is Rock?
It's funny that none of us has Jay Lethal winning the title, which is very obviously going to happen. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I think we're all just trying to avoid that. I mean, yeah. Just.
And all of us have Elgin in there, too. So, we're, you know, not all that dissimilar.
Well, I just kind of feel like Elgin is almost the Tyler Black right now, and that, man, you really had him on a high, and they just didn't capitalize on it. And I think at some point they really have to, because he also could be on that short watch list for WWE because he's kind of a big dude. So
Warner does.
Yep.
We're done. We're done predicting. We're done reviewing. We're done assessing.
Yes.
We're now on to the farewells. And I'm going to make it short and sweet and go first. Bye, everyone. I don't do anything with this podcast. So, Ari, do you do things?
No, I don't do anything.
Oh.
Catch me on Twitter.
Catch me on Twitter. Chris.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff for the site. I am the web admin. Of course, right now you can check out the weekly newscast, which I recorded with Des Delgadillo and Matt Gibson, talking about everything indie. It is your tidbit of weekly news all the time, always recorded and always out on Wednesdays. Of course, we always appreciate. We're going to have, as I said, the results from the last two Ring of Honor events, hopefully by the time you hear this. So look for those on the site. Of course, Jerome Cuson, our senior editor, working hard, earning his keep. He has put out a ton of year-end reviews right now. I believe PWG, AAW, Ring of Honor, and Chikara, and DGUSA/Evolve will be out. So check those out. Lots of time put into those. Lots of good stuff. We're getting really good feedback, and we really appreciate that. So if you haven't read them, go and check those out as well. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at PW Ponderings. Look us up on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And, as always, the website is pwponderings.com. If you just want to chat with me, you can always find me on Twitter at twitter.com/CGSTong. That's CGSTONG. Or you can email me at CGSTong@pwponderings.com.
Look at me. I'm Chris. I got all the projects. I do have something to plug. Top 5 Records Part 3. Now I've said it has to happen, Kevin. Yeah. I've called him out. It's happening. I don't know what we're going to discuss, but we're gonna shoot the shit and talk about stuff that isn't wrestling, probably. We probably won't.
Actually, I do have something else to plug that I forgot because it just happened. I just got confirmation on it today. The last week of January, we will have a former Ring of Honor booker on a podcast. Not going to say who, but it's going to happen.
Wow.
Mind blown.
Wow.
Of them, and I think deductive reasoning can tell you who it'll be, but still. We've excited you enough, and we're just going to go. So, bye on Podcast of Honor. Oh! When you always be the subject of discussion, but it's nothing when you stop and just